Now, one of the unfortunate things about our religious institutions is that they ask not to be left behind. They ask to keep control of you all the while. And you know what happens? It blew up back there in the 15th century, and it's been trying to piece the pieces together ever since. The goal is to grow out of the myth. And then, of course, as soon as you learn what your society wants you to be able to do, of course, in our world, just think of the PhD, you're in the womb until you're 45 years old. I've noticed on TV, when professors are asked to answer questions, they hum and haw and and all this, and you've got to figure out yourself whether they're having a crisis of some kind or whether they're just trying to find words for exquisite thoughts. But when a baseball player or football player is asked for some very difficult question, he answers it with ease and grace. He graduated from the womb when he was 19 and was the best pitcher in the league. But this other poor chap, he's been sitting under an auditorium of professors, and even though he's got his PhD, he's still looking to make sure that they're going to give him the right credits for everything he says. Then no sooner do you learn what you're supposed to do in your society than you begin to drop the ball. A little stiff. It's getting harder to do things. And they say, well, go sit aside, you know. Old age pensions and all that kind of thing. And you've got to find what to do with your psyche then. That's the period of the nervous breakdown, when you go into an unprepared unconscious and you drown there. It's very much better during the early years to begin to learn what the scenery is going to be when you get down there. And then you learn, ah, here he is. This is God the Father. And then you think, oh yes, this is the dragon. Now I know how to kill him, and when I do, I just take a little bit of the heart and nibble it a bit. Then you know how to behave when you encounter these monsters. Now with that little preparation, let me tell you what I found out about the psychotic crack-up through reading these works, and through then meeting a couple of real psychotics. The first experience one can call the regression, the regressus. There is a sense of split. This is the way it begins. The person sees the world as two orders and one part of it dropping away, and he's in another. It moves away. He sees himself in two roles. This is very interesting. One role, the role of the clown. That's the outer role that he plays. A joke, making little of himself. The fool, the one kicked around, the patsy. Inside, he's the savior. He knows it. Next, we have an experience, and this is described very vividly in a number of accounts, of terrific drop-off and regression backwards. Backwards in time, biologically backwards. People have the experience of going back into animal consciousness, animal forms, back to sub-animal forms, even plant-like forms. You know the legend of Daphne, who turned into a tree. That is a psychosis. The person, she couldn't face the life crisis, cut herself off and went back. Person goes back in his own biological past also, even back to the womb, and becomes a little infant. But then, following this, and in the course of it, there come great feelings of uniting with the universe, what Freud calls the oceanic experience. Feelings also of new knowledge. Things that had been mysterious to you are fully understood, ineffable. Understandings come through, and they do. This is no fooling. These are coming through. I've been amazed to read accounts of these experiences that parallel Hindu mythology perfectly. The person gets a sense of having lived many lifetimes, of having lived forever. The person has actually united his consciousness, or what's left of it, with that consciousness of the species, the consciousness of biology, the consciousness of the rocks and plants out of which we've come. And he is one with this which has indeed been forever, and as we all have been. He goes back into this world. Then there comes a sense of a terrific task and danger to be mastered. Also, of divine presences that will help one through this. And if one has the courage to go on, there come the final crises. There are four typical final crises, and these will vary according to the kind of difficulty that led the person to the experience. For instance, a person who has been brought up in a home with very little tenderness, very little love, very little care for him, but only authority and rigor, and do this, do that, or tumult and wrath in the house, drunken father raging around the place, all this. This person is seeking a reorientation, a recentering in the center of love. And the culmination there will be the discovery of a center in himself, of tenderness, of love. And that will be his discovery. We can call this the discovery in terms of the image of the sacred marriage, the union of the pair of opposites in the erotic, loving way. Or if it has been a household where the father has been a nothing, no force in the home at all, where there has been no sense of father authority and someone of the masculine order whom you can respect, but a kind of mess of domestic details and feminine concerns, the quest will be for a father image, and this will be what will be found. The motif, not of the union in marriage, but of the discovery and atonement, so to say, with the father. Another point of problem is when the child has felt himself to be excluded, a person with no family, let's say, or a person who has been treated as though he were outside the family. I've noticed this occasionally when there is a second family, a marriage, and another family comes off, the excluded one, the earlier one, is outside. One seeks center, and there comes the sense of having found the center, of having been the center, and being the center. Dr. Perry told me of one case, a schizophrenic who was absolutely cut off. Nobody could communicate with him at all. And this poor, mute person, he drew a little circle, and he just put his pencil in the middle of the circle. And Perry said to him, "You are in the center, aren't you? Aren't you?" And this started it.